Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Hey, it's Shauna, and you're listening to Everyone's Talking Money, and we've got a really good one for you today. Listen, if you've ever felt stress or fear or anxiety, your palms sweating, your heart racing, all the feels around money, and you are just tired of it ruining your life, this episode is dedicated to you. Dr. Charisse Johnson, she is the author of a new book, Expired Mindsets. She is here to tell you what you can do about all these feels and why you might need to let go of some of these expired mindsets that are just not working for you anymore. Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here.
When we feel stressed, our body responds through adrenaline, right? And that adrenaline can come in the form of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. When those two things are in place and we're carrying that stress, we could be walking through the day looking wonderful, drinking coffee, and still thinking about how am I going to pay this and everything that's happening. That signals the pain center of our brain and literally registers in our body as physical fear.
When I was studying what I call the mother load of money information to become a certified financial planner, I had to learn it all. There was a picture I took when I was in my CFP classes of the stack of books that I had to know, like, absolutely everything from these books, and it came up to my waist. So I'm about 5'7", so that gives you a little bit of an idea. We had to learn everything. I mean, it was like a crazy amount of information. All of the practical things you need to do to build and execute a good financial plan. Things like how to create a budget, a retirement plan, what insurance you need, so much more. You name it, we had to learn it. But there was still this like burning ache in me that, came from money stress, came from this kind of suffering. And all of this money knowledge that I learned, it didn't do shit to take care of those feelings. And so I also saw that feeling like really echoed in people like yourself that trusted me to create a financial plan for them. The plan was great. It was really great, but that stressful, fearful feeling around money was still there, no matter what someone's money situation was. So I thought, okay, this feeling is pretty universal, but what the fuck do I actually do about it? So Cherise, she's the author of this book, Expired Mindset. She's a speaker and a veteran, a psychotherapist. She's here with us today to shed some light on that question. And it's really going to blow your mind thinking about this idea of expired mindsets. So Cherise believes that it's time to start owning your story and stop blaming yourself for all those money mistakes. And when you do this, you can break these repetitive patterns that are just keeping you stuck. So I'm going to say it a million times. Reaching your money goals, it's not just about the how-tos. It's also, my friend, so much about what's going on in your brain and your body. And we're going to talk about it all. So let's start talking. There is a lot of overlap, I think, of our two expertise. And so I'm really excited to bring them together for this conversation. And I want to start with some really powerful words from your new book. You say, there is a wealth of potential trapped within our hidden and unresolved places of pain. Yet without conscious participation, we become stuck in a cycle of repetitive patterns that leave us feeling like an imposter in our own lives. And oh my gosh, this is like really hit me hard because I can echo those same words when we're talking about money and we're talking about our relationship with money and getting, stuck in these patterns where, yeah, we don't feel like we're living the life we want to live. We just feel like, bills are coming in and we're paying things, but there isn't this authenticity to our lives. And I think it does bring about this deep place of pain, which I think is one of the causes of why, money is one of the number one leading causes of stress is
yes,
that,
is.
We feel stuck. So, you're the expert here. Tell us a little bit about this kind of wealth of potential that is really trapped in these places of pain.
Yeah. The sentiment to that story is the things that we work to hide and distance ourselves from. And then you think about that in terms of money, we actually need to look at those things and work on tending to those wounds. And when we do, we're going to be able to regain the space that is being taken up by what we carry. And I think money is such a crucial and significant aspect of that. And it is the absolute number one cause of stress. And it's also one of the top three factors that we see in broken relationships. And yes. 52% of people who say they also have problems with money have some one or more significant mental health challenges as well.
It's really interesting that you talk about that. About a year ago, I became also a certified trauma of money specialist. And one of the things that I learned was that money is one of the biggest trauma bonds that somebody will have in their life. And I think, when we talk about trauma, we tend to think of like big, huge events that have happened in our life. But trauma can be really something very small. It could be even a mindset that we have that kind of keeps us stuck. It could be something generational that has been passed down from our ancestors or from our parents. Yes. And so, you know, I can really see how we stay stuck, and we stay stuck to the point where, you know, so much of what we do comes from kind of this unconscious place, right?
Yes.
And we just kind of do these things. We do these repetitive patterns, and we just can't kind of break out of this cycle.
Yeah. And I also think you have to be able to even recognize that it is a pattern. You know, I can speak even from my own life. I am an open book and willing to share. I grew up raised by a single parent, and we were in survival. It was about just kind of getting to the next moment. So there were no discussions around money whatsoever, because I am fully aware that my mom was literally going, how do I keep a roof over our head and make sure that everyone can eat? And, you know, there was little things that I learned or picked up along the way. I knew enough to know, don't get that credit card that's going to be in your mailbox in college. College students, if you're listening to me, don't do it, right? Like, we don't have the education around it. But I also will say, I remember the moment that I started making money, and I was fearful because I did not know what to do with it. And I realized, and I felt, the whole world has all of this knowledge that I don't have, but I feel like I'm supposed to. So there is a mindset, there is a relationship, there's a not knowing that it is a pattern. And then once you see it, there's a lot of guilt and shame around it, because you don't know what you don't know.
And I think, you know, what you're talking about is something that we can all relate to. I know from the years where I was working with people one-on-one with their money, and, you know, so many of these themes would show up: this guilt, this shame, this fear, this regret. You know, a lot of people would say that they were, you know, very nervous. Like, when I would come and sit across from them, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to show you my numbers. Like, that feels like I'm standing in the middle of the street kind of naked.
Yeah.
And you're making some sort of, you know, judgment call. But I think the powerful thing that I learned, almost regardless of kind of age, income, where you came from, we all didn't learn about money. And so it became this really taboo subject where we just sort of walked around thinking that everybody else knew everything.
Yes.
And yeah. And we don't know anything. And like, they must have the answers that we don't have.
But I'm not telling anybody that I don't have the same answers. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. But the reality is, we're all just standing there, like, you know, not knowing what to do. And it just sort of, you know, keeps this issue of money being taboo. It just kind of keeps it going on and passed down in generations. And, you know, it's kind of hard to escape that.
Well, it's such a hard conversation, right? Like, out of all the things that you're talking about, most of us aren't sitting around and having open conversations with the people in our lives about what's going on in our money. I have some incredible friends in my life. Out of all of them, there's only one person that I have that I feel like we can have very open and honest conversations. And she initiated them, and she talked about them so comfortably that I felt like, oh my goodness, it does exist. And she was talking about different things that she's experienced. But when I'm working even one-on-one with clients, the whole concept of integrative mental health, from the way that I approach it, is also, we're looking spiritually, physically, financially, socially, and emotionally. So I will often talk to them about, have you considered a financial planner or talking with someone? And the number one thing that they say is, I'm terrified because I don't want to be judged, or I'm so ashamed at the condition of where things are. And we have to be willing to take that trauma, that hidden story, and bring it to light, because financial managers are there to help us. And they are really gracious and really kind, and can really change the course of your life if you find one that you connect with.
I'm glad that you brought that up because I am a big advocate of talking about your money story, and you shared a little bit of your money story and in your childhood. And, you know, it's not just, to me, it's not just the story. It's not just what happened. It's how we carry that forward and the way we carry it forward and what we decide to let go of and what we decide to hold on with. You know, tell me a little bit about the power of story and the power of really understanding our story and kind of where we come from.
Yeah, it's such an important aspect. We love as humans to try and separate ourselves from our story because we want to walk around and show what we consider the acceptable parts of our story. But right. When it comes to life, ourselves, and money, something that I learned along the way as I was healing my money story was it wasn't about changing my habits with money. It was also about changing my relationship with money. And in order for me to do that, I had to be willing to trace back and look at where was my story even unconsciously connected to lack or scarcity, right? Mm-hmm. And now that I'm standing in this new place as a business owner and making more, what do I want to do with that relationship? But if there's a disconnect there, it's like clipping off the top of a weed, but not really getting to the root. So our story is painful, but it's also powerful. And it's also a big aspect of who we are. And there's a lot of messages in the parts that we try to avoid.
So how do we flip that script then from blaming ourselves or feeling bad about where we came from or our money story? And how do we flip that into a different mindset where it is a powerful, it is more accepting story kind of going forward?
Yeah. I think one, we have to be willing to talk about money, right? And not just in forums like this, but really talking about it to someone who can not just hear us, but someone who can help us. And that's the second thing. We have to be willing to get help. We have to work through the shame and the guilt, and for some of us, the pride, and know that it's okay for us not to know everything. I remember even when I started in business going, I went to school to be a therapist. I can break your brain down from every piece, but there were not classes around how to manage the financial aspects of a business. So it's important for us to talk about it and to be willing to own our story, right? That's an aspect that I talk about in the book and in life. Owning your story means, okay, the moment I become aware that my relationship with someone or something or money is impaired, I have a responsibility to change that and to alter it. Because if I don't, it's not only going to impact my relationship, it's going to impact my children. And then I'm passing on to them something, a cycle that I could have broken.
So what happens in our brain? Tell me a little bit about like kind of what is going on in you know, the mechanics up here that, you know, I feel like so many times, even though I do this work and I help people with this, I get stuck in very negative thought patterns around money. I can easily go down, you know, one little thing can happen and I can go down the, you know, the track of like, everything's falling apart.
Yes.
I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to, you know, I mean, and I have no real facts to support any of that thinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get, I find myself in like such a fight or flight mode so many times. And it's really hard for me to come out of it, you know, and people will be like, well, you just got to think good thoughts. And I'm like, but I can't even get to that place. Or what is a good thought? You know? So I'm really curious, like what's going on with our brain and how, do you have any like practical tips or techniques or anything that can kind of help us in those moments?
Yes. So let's talk about first what's happening in your brain. What you're describing is spot on. When we feel stressed, our body responds through adrenaline, right? And that adrenaline can come in the form of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. When those two things are in place and we're carrying that stress, we could be walking through the day looking wonderful, drinking coffee, and still thinking about how am I going to pay this and everything that's happening. that signals the pain center of our brain and literally registers in our body as physical fear. So our heart rate increases. We start to feel anxious and sweaty. We lose focus, which impacts what we're doing during the day. All of that is going through our mind, and it does create the fight, the flight, and it creates a lot of impulse. So we can also see that people who experience what you talked about will impulsively be thinking through these ruminating thoughts because your brain goes, this is a threat, and threat equals catastrophe. And then here's the really wild part. Then sometimes we'll go spend money, even though we don't have any, but what we're looking for is dopamine. So dopamine is this happy neurotransmitters that makes us go, okay, now I feel better, until we realize, wait a minute, I just did what I said I didn't want to do. So it can be a cycle. Here's something key to keep in mind when you feel that you're there. When we are in a place of high stress and threat between our brain and our nervous system, you cannot access those prefrontal thoughts that are those good thoughts that everybody is telling you. It's not real. It's blocked off because of the stress that your body is experiencing. And then if you have any kind of trauma with money historically, then that's going to feel even tighter. So we want to get in the body to get to the mind, which means use your five senses to help you bring the body down. And then you'll be able to access, okay, can I get to a more neutral thought before I get to something positive? How do we do that? It could be going outside for a walk for 4 to 7 minutes. It only takes 4 to 7 minutes to switch your body from one nervous cycle of fight, flight, or freeze, or fawn, and head back towards calm. Movement helps.
Wow. That's amazing. Just 4 to 7 minutes?
4 to 7 minutes. We usually don't even do one, but in 4 to 7 minutes of engaging our nervous system through our senses, we will come from this height and slowly start to come down if we will stop doing everything else. And the benefit of engaging the senses is being verbal when I'm stressed isn't helpful because all I'm thinking about are really awful things. So going for a walk out in nature is a two-part deal. Reaching out for a friend connection is also very helpful just to move your mind onto something different. Sense, if someone is really into essential oils or candles or the smell of coffee is soothing and gives us dopamine. And the last one that I would say that so many people underestimate is deep diaphragmatic breathing. One hand on the heart, one hand on the belly, in through the nose and out through the mouth for 12 breaths, which will take you about 2 minutes, tells your vagus nerve, tells your body we're safe. And that's a very helpful thing to do. And I often encourage people, if they have like a weekly money ritual, do those things before you sit down and start looking at your finances, especially if you're working to repair.
We're going to take a quick break for our episode sponsors. When we come back, Charisse is going to share some of her very favorite ways to create what she calls the perfect environment to tackle all of your money how-tos. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Right. We've got to create the right like atmosphere, the right environment. I always tell people, you know, go to a place too that you love, that you enjoy. Yeah. If you have a favorite beverage of choice or music or anything, you know, because I've always been really interested in this idea. My brain works a little odd, I guess you would say, but I've always been interested in this idea. Like, how do you make talking about money and experiencing money, how do you turn it into an experience?
Yes.
Like if you go look at artwork or you watch a movie or you go listen to your favorite band play, you know, something about those experiences evoke something in you.
Yes.
And they make you feel good. So how can you create that environment with your money has always been a really interesting experience that I'm always trying to like help people cultivate.
Yeah.
Because I think that when you do that, that's when, you know, your brain says, hey, it's okay. Like,
correct.
We can do this. We've done before. Mm-hmm. We can do going forward and we've got this.
Yeah. In the world of somatic integration, which is a type of therapy, we call that resourcing. So when you bring in things, like you mentioned, playing certain music or your favorite beverage, or even have a blanket wrapped around your lap and wear something comfortable, all of those sensory experiences are creating comfort, which helps soothe the mind. And then you look at it differently. And I think that is one of the, again, it's overlooked how much our environment helps us regulate. You don't need to be at a desk necessarily that is cold and at the most stressful time, you know, of your life. Really make it an experience and add gratitude. A lot of times when we're working to repair something, we don't spend enough time really highlighting, but look what I've done. Like the fact that I showed up today, that I said I was going to spend time today focusing on my money instead of avoiding it. I'm looking at my story and I'm healing it versus running away from it is significant. And we really can use that gratitude because our brain loves success and then we'll want to do it more.
When you're talking about objects, I have this blankie that probably a lot of people would want to burn because it is old. It is probably a bit gnarly. I must have had this blankie for, I don't know, 15 years or something. I mean, it's really long. But I can grab that blanket at any moment in time of the day, and it's literally just like a hand swipe on the blanket, and I suddenly am just relaxed.
Beautiful.
Or I feel calm. And, you know, every year I think, okay, this is going to be the year. Like, I'm going to let go of my blanket.
Don't
and
do
then
it.
I'm like, no, why would don't I let go of the thing that actually like makes me feel relaxed? And so I love that you bring up that, even that sensory, even just a feeling of something around you could be enough to like put yourself in a good place. So, so you could, you know, go forward and make, you know, money decisions that you need to.
And one, don't do it. Don't give it up. I have a blanket that my husband gave me in college. So I have had that blanket almost 27 years, right? Because that is something that settles me like no other. If you could see the full view of my office, there are two or three different blankets. But think about this concept. We teach our children, our babies, for those who have them, to soothe using all of these different aspects. Then we get like three and they all go away. And in truth, most people who are struggling are self-medicating and self-soothing in other ways, right? Based on something that they put in their mouth or something that they drink or other behavior. So if a blanket or a candle or something is, it's the least that you can be concerned with, but those aspects will help your brain and your body approach money in a way that is going to be more adaptive. And then what you're doing is, we call it rewiring your fire. You're changing the direction of your brain waves so that it no longer registers your time with money or thinking about money as fear. Then we can move it to curiosity and possibility, so that you're willing to approach it.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that a little bit. You know, I talk about moving through money decisions where, you know, first it starts with a thought and then it goes to a feeling and then we create an action around it. And we usually get stuck somewhere. We're either focusing on money, like directly at the action, like here are the 10 things I need to do, and we're ignoring our thoughts and feelings about the matter. Or, you know, we get to an action, but then we just don't repeat it, you know? And so it's, you know, how do you get people through to a place where you can actually create a behavior pattern and you're doing things with your money and you're making decisions, not all the time, because it's not a perfect game, but most of the time where it feels intentional, where it feels like, you know, you're moving forward. So, I mean, I would imagine the answer is yes, but you know, there are ways then, right, that we can rewire our brains and we can move to the place where we create behavior patterns that feel good to us around money, even if we're in a situation where we're living, you know, paycheck to paycheck or whatever it might be.
So one of the key things to remember is our habits help us rewire our thoughts and feelings. We often believe that our thoughts and feelings help rewire our habits, and they do all work together and they're all happening at the same time, but it takes the repetition of the action in order to start opening us up to a different thought than that one that has been playing on loop all of our lives. What I find is that when people approach changing a money habit, they are doing too many changes at the same time, so they get flooded. What I would suggest instead is start small, but be consistent. I always talk about find the line between what takes you right to the edge of your comfort zone, but it's also something that you're willing to do. What's the smallest thing that you can do that's also going to give you the greatest amount of success in an area? And if people can find that sweet spot, they will continue. We also know it takes about 66 times of repeating something. And that doesn't mean that you have to repeat necessarily something for 66 times. But what it does mean is work on something for about 2 months consistently and keep as many of those variables the same as possible. Then kind of check in and go, how am I feeling about it? And don't be afraid to adjust it. But people usually set their money goals, their habit goals too big. And then they go, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it. I failed. I quit. No, don't quit. Let's just readjust it. Let's just go, what's one step down, but still moves us forward, and be flexible with yourself and be consistent. And then once you have that down and it feels good, then you want to habit stack and add something onto it.
I love that. I talk about big money goals because we all tend to have these big goals. And a lot of it times it's around saving or paying off debt or something like that. And they feel really big and lofty. And so, yeah, we get stuck in the, well, I'm just never going to get there. So I'll just go out to dinner. I'll just spend that money and it's our individual choice. There's no judgment. Mm-hmm. There's no necessarily right or wrong, but I love the idea of breaking something down into little bits, like even something daily that you could do. Yeah. And maybe you can't save money today, but maybe it's, going out for a walk when you feel stressed about money. Or, you know, maybe it's making a little action plan or just something that feels achievable, because yeah. I think you probably know more of these mechanics. You talked about it a little bit, but that our brains like success.
Yes.
So if we could do that little thing today and then that little thing tomorrow, and before we know it, like, we're doing all of the little things, mm-hmm. and we're starting to actually feel really good.
Yes. And little habits, things, changes add to big success. And it's so important for us to keep that in mind. And, you know, everyone's brain is a little different. I do think there are people who are such big picture individuals that they want it all now. But it's important for us to also go, well, wait a minute, if I think about it, you didn't get here in 4 to 6 weeks. You're not going to get out of your money story in 4 to 6 weeks. And just even saying that for some people alone, they're going to be like, oh, right. It took you years to get to this place. Can you really expect that you're going to hear something, immediately get it, have a windfall of money, and be able to turn that around? So it's also expectations and having realistic expectations towards yourself and seeing those little small steps and being very proud of yourself for that.
So tell me a little bit more about this idea of expired mindsets. How did you kind of come to formulate this theory around our thinking and these mindsets that I feel like probably show up for all of us on a daily basis?
Yeah. You know, it's something that honestly birthed in childhood, didn't know it. And then going on and along the way, I realized that it wasn't something that everybody did, right? I thought, oh, I just think this, and if I need to make a change, I work on it, get through it, and move on. Doesn't everybody do that? Oh, wait, no, a lot of people don't want to face the tough emotions and really look at them as messengers. That's very, very challenging to do. And then I was in the midst of the pandemic along with the rest of the world. And my daughter said, "Mom, I think you should write a book." And I was like, "I think you should go away, because there's a lot going on for therapists right now in the pandemic, you know?" And then I was like, you know, it would actually be a very helpful resource, because I was watching all of these people in various places and stages of life and corporations go, "I am overwhelmed, terrified, anxious, and depressed, because now that life has stopped, I can't run from my story. I can't overcompensate and work all the time. I can't use my kids' schedule as a reason why I can't address these things, and I'm falling apart." And that created the, okay, it's time for me to share bits and pieces of my own life and to help other people walk through the process and what that could look like for them, and know it is challenging, but it's so important and will free you up so that you feel like, okay, this is the me that I've always wanted to operate in all the time. Because I feel like we see glimpses, right? We do something for a moment and we're like, ah, oh, and then all of a sudden we're like, wait, but now I'm back here. Because we have to really look at what no longer works. And the last thing I'll say about the concept I use, I don't think I mention it in the book, but in my mind, part of what I'm thinking about is there are certain things in life that worked for us in one season of life that we have to realize this is no longer effective, right? How we manage money at 20 doesn't work the same at 40. It requires a new set of skills, but sometimes we can be so determined to hold on to what we've always done. So expiring a mindset is about recognizing what is no longer helpful, even though it's comfortable, and how can I give myself permission to release that so that I can build a new mindset that is more adaptive for this season and context of my life.
Just a quick break for our sponsors. When we come back, Charisse is going to put the exclamation mark on how letting go of your expired mindsets is going to change everything for you. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's ASPCAPetInsurance.com/ETM. Again, that's ASPCAPetInsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you feel like we've changed since the pandemic, or have we kind of gone back into the same patterns where we're just filling our lives with busy things and not really embracing our stories?
Yeah, from what I see, we've changed. I often hear and have conversations where a lot of people look back at life pre-pandemic and go, I don't even know who that person was. I don't even know how I kept that pace, and will often say, I don't even have the energy to be what I once was. But what I hear now is people are going, but I don't know how to move forward. I know that I don't want to be that anymore, and I'm willing and I'm open. The Band-Aid has been ripped off, but I'm not sure of how to take the next step. So I do think we've changed in a really beautiful and authentic way. I think people are more willing to acknowledge my money is not in a great place. And what we experienced and are experiencing these early recession dynamics is helping me realize everything I thought isn't as secure as I thought. So I do think we've changed.
So if we recognize, which I would imagine is a hard piece of the process, but recognizing what some of our expired mindsets are, where do we go from there? How do we begin to work through some of those?
Yeah. You start with awareness, and then you want to move towards action. And it's not a linear dynamic. It's a process of being able to go, okay, out of all of the places that I now have awareness around, where do I think is the most beneficial place to start, right? Is it money? Is it relationships? Is it parenting? It could be a number of different things. And reach out and get support, because we need a good coach. We need someone that can keep us accountable, help us remain consistent. Going back to some of what we were talking about, is it's important for us to have accountability that we're willing to take on, because that helps with consistency. And then really looking at what are my beliefs about myself, my ability. So awareness, and then what are my beliefs about the area that I'm working on? And then you kind of put an action plan in place. What are some things that I'm willing to do differently so that I'm not repeating the same behaviors and getting the same results?
I like that. Awareness and action. And I feel like this is tough work to do. It's tough to put yourself in a place where you're examining bits and pieces of you. I know that for a lot of people it's very scary. I think one of the good things that really came out of the pandemic was more of an acceptance of talking about mental health, mm-hmm. and talking about fear and anxiety and depression and, you know, a lot of the things that most of us struggle with on a daily basis. So I'm just kind of curious from your standpoint, like, where do you think we are on that progress of accepting that a lot of us have anxiety, that a lot of us have mental health issues, and that it's, you know, acceptable to reach out to people, to find a mentor, to find somebody to work with, to find a therapist?
Where we are depends on what we've been told. That's what I see. if we grew up in a family or in a generation that was silent, there's still quite a bit of a pull of, I realize that that would be helpful, but I also feel like I'm supposed to be able to do this on our own. But if we think about millennials and Gen Xers, at the lower end and Gen Z, they are very willing and very open. So there is definitely a shift that's starting to occur. And sometimes when younger generations are more willing to talk about things than we are, it can make us uncomfortable. But I also feel like it's a really great bridge. You know, like when I think about my own money story, part of me repairing that story also means I want to give my children what I didn't have. So I need to be open with them about what I didn't know about money, how it made me feel, making sure that I give them resources. And I think that that can also be a way that families or people can approach money in a way where they're learning, but also not shying away from it. There's a woman, her name is Michelle Young, and she has something called Kids Finance Camp. And it goes through books and courses and certificates that teaches children about budget and credit and entrepreneurship and all of these different dynamics. That's approachable for someone who even feels like, well, I have shame about money. So you could utilize that with your family, and that's going to create consistency around, I really want to give this to them. I feel really great about them, and it's not about me. I'm helping my children, but you're also learning. So it's a tool and it's a resource that you can use, because a lot of us don't know those basic things. Well, teaching your children, and your children are going to hold you accountable if you say that you're going to do something for them and then be able to put it together. But I say that to go, I believe that it is shifting, it is changing, and we need those intergenerational conversations to continue the progress versus thinking that because we're a certain age, we're supposed to figure it all out on our own.
Well, and I think the important word is that we just need to have these conversations.
That too.
Right. The name of my show is Everyone's Talking Money. Like, we just need to have them, even if they are uncomfortable or weird or awkward or whatever it might be, because that's just a place of not only connection, but like you're saying, that's a place of creating change.
Yeah, it is. And it's hard, right? I think a lot of people listen, but don't apply. I have this concept that I constantly will tell people, and I say, knowledge is not power without application. So what I find is people love knowledge. They will listen to podcasts and they will read books, but please find a way to take these conversations and have them in ways that aren't stressful, right? It doesn't have to be the conversation that you're talking to with your partner about what's wrong. The next time you're with friends, you know, how's everyone doing financially, right? Share resources. We do need to find a way to make this just as casual as we would talk about anything else.
Okay, this is kind of a big question as we close out here, but I'm thinking about this idea of expired mindsets. And I'm wondering, you know, what is the impact that you think us working through expired mindsets and kind of us all changing as a society, how will that impact us, you know, for the greater good kind of going forward?
Yeah. I think the impact is surreal and powerful and will have a ripple effect, right? We repeat what we don't repair. And so when we keep things unresolved, we aren't even aware of the damage that it's causing us, but it's causing other people. So a lot of the dynamics that we are experiencing as a culture, as a society, as a nation, if we were honest and took a look, a lot of it comes from our own stories that we're trying to hide, systems that we need to keep them maintained, and a constant fight to just keep the picture beautiful. There is nothing better than being fully open and honest and comfortable with your story and knowing that the things that you believe might create shame for you could actually help someone else find freedom. I will often tell people, someone is waiting for your story. You know, like, think if you never decided to open up this platform and have this conversation, the millions of people who wouldn't get the knowledge and who wouldn't hear the resources and information, but it had to start with you owning, I have a story to tell, and I actually think it might be helpful. And then it goes from there. So it's so powerful.
This was a mic drop moment for me when Charisse shared that your habits help you rewire your thoughts and feelings, and that with repetition of action, you can open yourself up to a new way of thinking. So these things, like, they really go hand in hand. And why this doesn't work for you is usually because you're just trying to do too many things at one time. So I love the advice of start small and just be consistent. So going back to what we talked about at the beginning of this episode, I know that if you do this work combined with taking action, you're going to just be set up to achieve your money goals in a way that you never knew was possible. So just something for you to think about today. If you want to grab a copy of Expired Mindsets, you can go to Amazon or Audible. And if you'd like to connect with Charisse on Instagram, you can go to dr.charisse, C-H-R-R-Y-S-E, _J. If you enjoyed this episode, you know what to do. Share it with a few friends. Tell them why they got to let go of some of their own expired mindsets. You can head to the show notes for all the links to our episode guests, as well as the sponsors who are making this show possible. I'll see you back here, my friends, for a new episode in just a few days.